Now, there's a drug, an anti-anxiety drug around called Xanax. Many of you have heard about it. It's actually quite toxic. And the government realised that it was fairly toxic, lots of calls to the Poison Centre, and they rescheduled it. And there's been a study done at the University of New South Wales with colleagues at the University of Sydney looking at what the effect of rescheduling those drugs are, because how do you actually change the way drugs are prescribed and influenced, and can regulation actually have an influence? And the person doing that study, along with her colleagues, is Andrea Schaefer, who's in the unit of big data research in health at the University of New South Wales. Welcome to the Health Report.
Thank you very much, Norman.
Big data research in health. Just tell us about your unit before we get on to the subject of Xanax.
Well, we primarily do a research that uses data that has been collected for reasons other than research purposes, so administrative data. Like, for example, in the study that we did, we used pharmaceutical benefit scheme data on pharmacy claims that have been dispensed at chemists, and hospitalization data collected at the state level, as well as emergency department data, Medicare benefits scheme data as well.
So we heard, you've been sitting listening to the program while it's been going to air, and you heard Stephen Duckett at the beginning complaining that he wasn't getting open data from the Commonwealth.
Yes.
Did you?
It can, sorry.
Because the Commonwealth is boasting about how the fact they're making all their data available.
But yes, I think there's something coming up in the pipeline, but at the moment you do have to go through a few hoops to get access to data.
Right. And sometimes when you talk about big data in health, people are using other data that are not in health at all, like supermarket data or people's shopping habits and things like that. Do you use that in your research too?
Or? I'm not aware of anyone in our group who uses that sort of data, no, at this stage. It's mostly health data.
So let's talk about Xanax. What's the problem with Xanax? Or the actual proper name for it is alprazolam.
It is, yes. Alprazolam, when it's compared to other benzodiazepines,
it's used for anxiety and panic
anxiety
disorder.
Anxiety and insomnia as well, although in Australia it's only PBS listed for the treatment of panic disorder. Compared to other benzodiazepines, alprazolam, it's more toxic, and as well it's more commonly abused. And its use had been increasing in Australia, and so that was concerning, and that is why the TGA decided to reschedule it.
And what was the toxicity?
Well, when individuals might overdose on a benzodiazepine, if they're taking alprazolam, they're more likely to die or have worse outcomes than if they overdose on, say, diazepam or oxazepam.
And was it being abused as well?
Yes, it's commonly abused, particularly by people who abuse opioids, for example, heroin, and patients who overdose on illicit drugs, they're often also abusing alprazolam.
So if you're on alprazolam and you're on, say, heroin, that could increase your risk of dying of an overdose simply because of the two drugs working together.
Yes, yeah, and in comparison to, say, other benzodiazepines.
So when they rescheduled, what did they actually do?
Well, in Australia, all medicines are classified into a schedule, and the majority of medicines that are prescribed, such as statins or blood pressure medicines, they're classified as Schedule 4.
The GP can just write an ordinary script for them.
Exactly. Medicines that have a high potential for abuse or addiction, they're classified as Schedule 8, and those are called controlled drugs.
And so morphine-like drugs would be on Schedule 8.
Exactly, yes. And so what that means is that those medicines, they can still be prescribed, but they're just subject to additional restrictions and controls.
Such as?
The restrictions vary by state, but includes things like getting a permit from a state authority to prescribe, requiring that the GP handwrite the prescription, and having the prescriptions expire after 6 months rather than a year.
So it just becomes much more difficult.
It does, yes.
And what did you do in this study?
Well, we had access to...
I mean, is there any doubt that rescheduling changes prescribing habits? I mean, it would make sense that it does.
Yeah, that's what you'd expect. But the issue is, not only does it reduce prescribing of alprazolam, but we also want to look at whether there's any unintended consequences, either positive or negative. For example, if alprazolam is more difficult to get, are people switching to other less appropriate drugs, or are they switching to more appropriate alternatives?
Given that the evidence base for these drugs treating anxiety disorder is pretty poor in the first place.
Yes.
What did you find?
Well, we found that almost immediately after the rescheduling, the prescribing of alprazolam dropped by 22%. We also looked
at... And there were a lot of prescriptions, like 18,000 or something like that.
Yes, we had over our study period, which was 6 years.
Oh, so it's over 6 years rather
than a year. Yeah, there was 18,000 people in our sample. So this is a 10% sample of all prescribed alprazolam in Australia. And that was 18,000 people over 6 years.
So it's still quite a large number if it's a 10% sample.
Yes, yeah. So the prescribing dropped by 22%. We also found that there was increases in the use of other less toxic benzodiazepines, particularly oxazepam and diazepam.
Diazepam, which the common trade name is Valium.
Yes.
So there was a trade-off. Was it a one-to-one trade-off, or did the overall rate of prescribing of benzodiazepines, which is actually what you'd want, you'd want that to go down, did it overall go down, or was it a one-to-one trade-off?
It's a bit difficult to compare. One of the issues is alprazolam, well, all medicines can be prescribed and dispensed privately as well as through the PBS. And we only had access to PBS prescriptions.
So the GPs might have reverted to private prescriptions.
Or it could be also...
But it was still Schedule 8, so you still got rules about the private prescription.
Exactly, yeah. So we suspect that the private market would have acted similarly to the PBS market, but you may have people switching from the private alprazolam market into the PBS diazepam market, for example.
And calls to the poison center halved.
Yep, they did. So over 12 months after the rescheduling, they dropped by 50%. And probably most importantly, we didn't see any increases in calls for poisonings associated with other benzodiazepines or sedatives.
So although you could go into a moral contortion about them trading off for other benzodiazepines, overall it was actually safer, even though it might not be more effective for
the anxiety disorder. Yeah, so we didn't identify any increases in adverse outcomes. Given the data that we had and the outcomes that we could measure, we didn't see any negative consequences.
So in this case, rescheduling worked?
It appears so, yes.
Andrea, thanks very much indeed. Look forward to more of your big data results.
Thank you very much.
Andrea Schaefer is a biostatistician in the Centre for Big Data Research in Health at the University of New South Wales.